You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the fourth episode of season 8, present tense, directed by Kristen Wendell and written by Oscar Balderrama and Gene Wong. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
We predicted last week that we thought this episode was going to be really good, and I was pleasantly surprised.
I liked it.
This is one of the best episodes of the series.
Yes, definitely. There was definitely a moment, too, where I was like, that was a really cool way to shoot an arrow. I didn't know who...
Eight seasons in, that's hard to do.
Right?
It's like,
it is. But it was like, I don't know if you remember it, but there's a moment where Mia shoots the arrow and her hair flies back. And then it's a long shot where it's like a one-er. And so her hair flies back. She shoots the arrow and then she moves to go like attack them. And it's this really cool sequence of events where it's like some slow shots mixed in with some fast shots. And it was a really cool sequence. And it was like, I don't know. I just was like pleasantly surprised where I had never sort of seen together. That was one of the biggest things from having watched Mia for so long and really enjoying those characters. And I really am sick of the normal characters, and I'll be fine to see them go and totally watch a show that's just like led by these like youngsters. I couldn't do the math of the dates, though. It seemed like they should be older than they were. Or no, oh no, William. William seemed, because he seems similar in age to Mia, but he's supposed to be like 12 years older, or 14.
I think the problem you're having there is that you're thinking of Mia as being a lot older than she is.
Well, she's like, oh, is she supposed to be a lot younger?
Yeah.
Then I think she is, because she...
Yeah, because I think she seems like she's the same age as him, and I think she's supposed to be like, I don't know, what would it be? If she was born in 2019 and it's 2040, she would be...
Like 20.
21?
Yeah, 21. But he would be like 40. Almost.
That's not how math works. He would be his 30s.
Fine. 30-something.
Yeah.
Which, as a 30-something, is almost 40. I speak from experience.
All right, then. That's unfortunate for you.
I'm having a real problem with my age right now because I'm feeling a lot older than I actually am. So.
Whew. The recording just did a weird thing, like the visualization of it did a weird thing, and I thought that it was going to stop recording, but then it's
doing something funky right now, though, to be honest. Like, why is it chasing us so far ahead and then, like, recording us? Anyways, we apologize if this is doing something weird. We won't know for, like, another hour.
Yeah. No, it's fine. The waveforms look fine. I'd be able to, you would be able to see it if it was really bad. The way that it's getting the peaks and valleys means that it's recording properly. When it doesn't record properly, it's like when they're static, like
it would be like,
it would be all over the place. Yeah. It'd be crazy.
I have to say, thanks for sticking with us 8 years. And we still talk about our equipment.
Have no idea what we're doing.
No.
So the thing is that if this were a professional setup and not the two of us sitting and recording a conversation, then we would have a producer on the other side.
Oh yeah.
That is actually listening to the podcast while we record it to tell us if there's something wrong. But because we're not doing that,
but we have our fancy schmancy mics, which
they're fancy.
We talked about a little bit on the end of last season, but I'm excited for. I mean, it's just nice. I've gotten used to it. I've gotten complacent. I now expect my podcast to have good microphones. It only took me 8 years.
Yeah. Let's jump into an email. This one's from Megan. Megan writes, "Hello. So while I enjoyed seeing Thea last week, and I also thought Katie Cassidy did a great job as a first-time director, I like this week's episode better. The Deathstroke storyline didn't really matter that much, but I enjoyed the personal stories better anyway. All of the scenes with William and Oliver, John and Connor, Oliver and Mia, and of course, Curtis was back.
Yeah, I didn't know that Curtis was coming back. It was very exciting. Oh, cool.
I said something about it last week.
I remember.
Mia is so much like Oliver, as everyone was pointing out, and it's driving me crazy. While I bought her sadness for Zoe's death, I hope for spinoff she shows more emotion than sulky and stubborn. But I did enjoy her scene with Laurel, so there is some hope. Take care, Megan. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that she's still young and new to the whole.
And stuck within the Arrowverse, where she specifically has to, like, play to the tone of this particular show, where I feel like...
Yeah, and it's her, this is her first, well, I think, like, Oliver directly addresses it, like, this is her first loss, her first team loss, fair. Right? Yeah. So she's figuring this out. She's learning how to deal with it, and as she kind of says to him, like, does the guilt ever go away? And he's like, nope, but you learn to live with it. There was so many people have died on Oliver's watch, but that's okay. He manages anyway.
Sorry, I was totally gonna skip ahead to next week when we're going to Russia, and people were talking in the group. Actually, it was Sarah Beth and was mentioning, like, if we go to Russia. Actually, no, it wasn't. She responded to the message. Anyways,
yeah,
we
better see Anatoly.
Did Anatoly die? We couldn't remember.
No, Anatoly's not dead.
Is he still alive? Was he around last week? Or I mean, last season? Yeah,
pretty sure.
So I think he is too. But okay, good. I just wanted to, like, I wasn't quite sure. So I don't know.
I mean, if they're going to Russia and it he's needs not to be, it,
yeah, I feel like it needs to be.
I'm checking IMDb to see if he's
oh yeah
for next week. He doesn't appear to be
in the episode.
Yeah,
and so that's, like, the weird thing is, it's like, is he actually in the episode or is he not? And I don't know. But I just like that they have the right people for each of the episodes that we keep going through. So.
But there is a person that is credited as Bratva number one. So.
Well, it definitely will be brought fun in some way, but it'll be like, what's the point if Oliver's or if, like, Anatoly's not in it? Like, why would you go back?
What's the point of the tour of all of the existing, like, all of the greatest characters of the series if we don't have Anatoly in the final season? But, I don't know. We'll find out next week. Do you want to jump into the episode?
I sure do.
Yeah.
We have a lot of podcast groups.
I'm hitting play now.
Sorry. Here I can't find the actual, like, to reference. Who brought this up in the group? I feel maybe it was, like, Mark. I don't remember who brought it up in the group.
I don't know.
Sorry. Anyways, I'm sorry that I couldn't quote
properly.
It's not
that big of a deal.
I know, but I just.
They know who they are.
Because you just show up in my normal feed. I never actually go into the, like, actual groups. I just, like, talk to people that it just shows up in my feed. And I'm like, yes, I do want to talk about Arrow. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Sarah Beth.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's today.
It is. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, it'll have been yesterday by the time that she hears it, but that's fair. When we recorded.
Yeah.
This was just all the previously on.
Because Zoe died.
Hey, do you remember that Zoe died at the end of the last episode?
Yeah.
And then a flash of bright light, and everybody is in the past, future, past.
Past, future, past.
Hey, no flashback, flash forward this week.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about it.
Because
everybody's just all in the same
time. The same timeline. Oh, and I do like that William, because he totally, like, knows his dad, right?
So, yeah.
Again, I don't think that it's, like, I don't think he knew him enough. That's always been a bee in my bonnet about the William storyline. Anyways, but Mia is a baby
right now. But he did have a relationship with his dad, and because he is older, he's in his 30s.
Yeah, it would have been informative.
He's worked through his problems with Oliver.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Post-mortem, after Oliver has died. And so to be in the past and to see his dad again, and to, like, for him, he's instantly going, like, you're here. I'm sorry. Like, in his mind, he's apologizing to Oliver for what he did.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Because later
on
in the episode, they have the conversation, and he's like, you know, like, I was a kid, but I what I actually needed was for you to not let me go.
Right.
Like,
was for you to
push harder, but you let me go.
Yeah.
So, like, he was mad at him for a little while about that, but
Yeah. I like that they have the coming out moment too in this episode, and I think they treated it really well. I love that they actually like
talked about it. I lost it a little bit on that scene because it was so good.
It's so good. It was
so well written and so well performed.
Yeah.
Like the two, like Oliver just did, the smile and the, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like so we knew. Good. We just, we
wanted you to, like,
yeah, like you would tell us when you were ready. So it's just, it's nice. Good 2019 parenting.
Good job. I love it. And the thing that I'm not here for, though, is the fact that Diggle and Renee get mad at each other for something that their kids do in the future. Like, come on. Do we have to have so much, like, contrived drama?
In a,
like,
future that never happens because them coming back
has, like, changed the timeline.
Irrevocably changes the timeline.
Like, it just, I don't know. This, like, what year is it supposed to be? I just think that that's like a, I don't know. I just think
I love that that's how the question was phrased. That it wasn't one of them saying to Oliver, what year is it?
Yeah.
But instead Oliver saying to him, well, what year is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
To
yeah.
them yeah. of like, you know,
it's like,
year in the past.
Yeah. Anyways, I really like it. I am sad that, so I do like that they address that, like the Zoe, like he deals with his daughter in this present day. Like I do like the present day daughter. Anyways, that they deal with the fallout of things and they deal with it in like a grown up way. And anyways, it's just all in all a really awesome episode. I haven't been this excited about an episode in a while. Actually, I was going to mention, I was like, as I did it at home, I was like, I'll mention this on the podcast, where it was the first time that I started the episode of Arrow before I had gotten, I usually like make sort of my food while I played it. And I didn't want to do that. I like turned it on. And then I actually was like, no, I'm going to pause it because the best part is going to be the beginning.
Yeah.
And I want to have my food and be ready to like watch it. And that very rarely happens because we always open on generic action sequences that are you know, fun and stuff, but they're not like story based. And like my favorite part of these shows are the characters, and this really was one of those episodes where like you get to know the characters. And Megan was right in her email, the Deathstroke part is super inconsequential, but it's kind of cool. Like it's kind of fun to like,
it's only important in as much as it's a red herring at the beginning and then it's connected to JJ's storyline in the future. So them saying like we just by involving ourselves at this point, the future has already changed because their base doesn't get blown up in 2019.
Right.
And it just got blown up in 2019. So things are already different. That future already does not happen.
Right? Which is interesting. And I do like that. So I just hope that the time travel in this is cohesive.
I'm just wondering where the legends are at this point and why they're not getting involved, because this is a pretty major
shift in the timeline.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could have to do with the fact that the monitor is around.
So I just finished Legends the other day.
Yeah, you were talking.
And the season finale of Legends is that somebody in hell, because they end up in hell at one point because Constantine, blah, blah, blah. They're fighting a demon in the season.
Of course they are.
So somebody in hell gets access to a bunch of souls of basically like history's worst people.
Ooh, cool.
And releases them back into their that's the setup for the new season.
Man, I'll watch that.
I know where the legends
this
are.
Is
They're
cool.
dealing with that.
You Just Sort of Disappeared is really interesting because it means that he doesn't actually die.
Yeah.
Which bums me out a little bit, but also I sort of saw it coming. Sorry, carry on.
I like that he's like, well, you guys get a chance to grow up together. He's happy about that. And then William tells him and he's instantly everything sucks because I have to do this because I have to save the multiverse.
Yeah.
Right.
And Mia just grew up in the cabin with her mom. I don't know. It would be weird to have just like it been Felicity.
So we initially last week when we discussed this, we thought that the monitor, Mar-Novu, is the one who brought them back to the past. But I'm starting to question whether or not
it was the anti-monitor.
If it was the monitor or the anti-monitor, or if it was somebody else.
Oh, to like help or like...
Yeah.
Interesting. That could be good. I mean, it might not have been... I don't know. I don't see how how it would have helped the monitor.
So the monitor is hinging everything on Oliver sacrificing himself, right? If you were the anti-monitor and you wanted to sow a seed of doubt in Oliver... in order to create conflict. Right,
you would send the kids back.
You would show him what that future looks like.
Right.
And how that decision ends up affecting the people that he cares about, the people that he thinks that he's protecting by sacrificing himself.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So in that moment, you see that he's like, well, you guys got to grow up together. That's a good thing. Like, you know each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, actually, we just met, like, a month ago or whatever. And you see his face just totally change, right?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I also like how William refers to Felicity as mom.
I know. It bothers me.
Well, he did all last season.
I guess.
So.
But I don't know. It just bothers me that.
But this is. Again, this that there is, wasn't this so is, much. This is the scene. It's, this like, is the it's scene. Like right the at the Oliver. Beginning. And then there's another scene later with Diggle and Connor that gets me later.
That's pretty good. Oh, I do like, too, that like we just like, oh, yeah, he is older because he's a billionaire and he had time to actually grow up. I sort of forget about that. Why did he go with the arrow to like follow the arrow anyways? What was it that prompted William at the beginning when we like first meet him to go back and...
Something happened with it where it like maybe... turned on or something. Oh, okay.
Or maybe just something. But anyways, but that was kind of cool that... That,
Felicity like, activated something in it to make him
right.
come back to Star City.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's because she's in the future, right? I forgot about that. But anyways, I do like that that's like a cool thing that Oliver's at least like, oh, you're a billionaire? Cool. Good for you. Because, you know, that'd be... It's just that it's just Mia that's messed up, really. I think William had an okay life. I don't know.
Yeah.
There is definitely the age difference. Okay, fine. I got over the age thing very quickly. Now that I'm watching the episode again, it actually like makes sense. So, anyways, they're cute. Oh, I like them together.
I love that they did this.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Everything with the future storyline, what good and bad, it's all worth it to have those characters in the present day interacting with Oliver for the remainder of this season.
Yep.
There's a dude with a Deathstroke tattoo and a bomb inside is... him, and he explodes.
The doctor is the same, hey? Like they keep using that doctor, which is cool. Yep. Anyways, you do sort of, you're supposed to think this is JJ.
Yeah.
Which it could have been. But then I do like the logic that, I don't know, I think maybe it's Connor that says, like,
Star Wars trailer.
Hey, we could just watch it.
For The Mandalorian, we are just going to watch it.
Okay. I don't think I've seen...
You haven't seen this one yet?
I haven't seen any trailers for The Mandalorian.
This show's going to be so good.
I haven't actually really been looking at The Mandalorian that much because I'm really excited to just sort of watch it. As I do with, like, most Star Wars things.
Man, the production quality on this show is so good.
It's like a Star Wars movie, man.
Yep.
It's live action. They have all the money in the universe. They're going to make it good. So it's very exciting. Can we actually pre-order Disney Plus here?
No, we can't.
Yeah, how come? So how do we know that it's actually going to come out on Tuesday?
They've said that it's going to release day and date.
I mean, they say that, but so, how come I can't pre-order it? You would think that they would want my money now.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I don't know. I got to imagine it's going to come in the next few days. We're going to be able to start signing up and whatnot.
That'd be good. And we're back with this cool shot. It's cool. I don't know. I really think the direction on this, I don't actually know. It's Christina that was the director or something? Anyways, I don't know if it's a director that we've had before, but I actually feel like there's a few subtleties in this episode that are, like, I think very much directorial choices, which I just think is really awesome.
Like, I like that they start by, like, the future, like, Team Arrow 2040 starts by kind of obfuscating the future a little bit. They're kind of playing by Back to the Future rules of like, we're not going to tell anything.
Yeah.
So Renee is like, tell me the city is not this messed up in the future. And Mia's like, no, yeah, it's great. And it's like, no, it's not. It's just not, as messed
it's
up.
It's so terrible.
And over the course of the episode, they kind of start revealing stuff.
Look at Renee's face. He smiled so big. Anyways, and here's Curtis. Hello. Anyways, I do now sort of remember that you told me that Curtis was going to be on the episode, but I was very excited because I may have forgotten by the time I was watching the episode that Curtis was back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very exciting for me. And I like that he like didn't lose any of his like little like his like, I don't know.
I like that.
What was that? Oh, that he's going to be the mayor?
He's like, you know that these guys are from the future. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine. You become the mayor. I love that moment between Renee and Curtis. Though.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
I do like the beard thing.
The beard looks tremendous. I love that. Yeah.
It's just a fun episode. Like, we don't get fun episodes very often on this show.
It's a well-rounded episode.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Maybe,
it's not just a silly episode. It's not just a dramatic episode. It's not just action. It has all of those things.
Yeah.
And that's Arrow at its best.
It can be
fun, but also have a heart, and then also some great action sequences. Like, that's...
Yeah, that is what makes it good.
That's the best.
She's okay. It's Kristen is the director, and she's directed five episodes of the show before. So, sorry, I'm just
that's okay.
Contemplating. Guess what episode she directed? You'll never guess. What's our favorite episode of the series?
What is it? What's it called? Spirit of the
Spectre
Gun?
Of the Spectre Gun.
Of the Gun.
And it's the first one she ever directed on this show.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. It's. I feel like
there's
a lot of stuff.
That makes
our
a lot
other
of sense.
Like favorite episode. Go, Kristen Wendell. Awesome. That's awesome.
Spectre of the Gun is still my number one episode of this entire series.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
But I think this episode might be my second favorite episode of the series.
It's pretty good.
It's so, so good.
Yeah. Anyways, it's good. Yay. Oh, I love seeing that when it's like, why do we like this so much? And I feel like there's probably a feeling in there.
Like how like they just kind of start dropping some hints and he mentions the canaries and she's like, canaries?
That's cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the build up towards the end of this episode is the best part of it, is that like we spent last season seeing this future that where everything has gone wrong, everything sucks.
Right.
All of this bad stuff has happened. Everybody's in a bad place. But then the end of this episode essentially, like, I think for all intents and purposes, undoes all of that.
Yeah, because everybody is now determined to make it not that, which I think is really interesting. I don't know.
Unless the reality is that that's the moment that the canaries are created.
Right, and it's...
Renee's zealotous...
Nature is cemented.
He's like, I have to make sure that the city is better and safer so Zoe survives, is what ends up turning him into the corrupt politician that will do anything to protect the Glades.
Of course.
Right?
Because I mean, it could be either way, and that's the brilliant... That's actually the brilliant part about the end of this episode, is that it could be either way, and really it depends on what theory of time travel they're ascribing to. Is it closed loop time travel or alternate reality time travel?
And we know that within the Arrowverse, it's alternate timelines.
Right.
Time travel causes alternate timelines. Even when Barry goes back and he fixes Flashpoint, it still changes the future.
Yeah, that's
right.
Fair.
It still changes
yeah.
present day, and Sarah becomes JJ.
Right.
So there's an alternate future where JJ isn't Deathstroke because JJ never existed.
Right.
Because JJ was Sarah, and it's totally different. I will never, ever, ever, ever forgive Barry for that.
For getting rid of Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really sad.
Because Sarah died, and then they named their daughter after Sarah, who died. Obviously, then, at the beginning of season 3, Sarah comes back. But Sarah comes back, but she also kind of doesn't.
She's
different.
She's not quite around.
Although, I mean, like, the best part of Legends and that series continuing on as long as it has is that Katie Lotz has gotten to develop that character so much more. And it's funny because when that show starts, she's very much in the Arrow place of dark, broody Oliver.
Right.
I died and came back to life. Without my soul and had to get my soul back, and Constantine helped me with that or whatever. From that, she's actually like in the latest season towards the end of it, now that she's like, she's in a relationship, she's sort of gotten her life back to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. She's back to the character that we saw in the flashbacks.
Oh, cool.
Before they got on the boat.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
nice.
She's like,
I like that
she likes to party. She likes to have fun. She's a little bit silly sometimes.
Legends
is so good.
Anyways, this
it's
is
all
fun.
On Crave.
So they really?
Yeah.
I should. I need to be watching way more stuff than I'm watching.
I will tell you that if you start watching Legends,
yeah,
you will continue watching Legends.
Nice. Okay.
Because it's the characters are so good.
Yeah.
That's fair. We just talked over a bunch of Deathstroke.
I
stuff.
Do like.
It's really not that important. It was the action
blew
sequence.
Stuff up, and then she said as they left, she's like, "At least we didn't die." And I just love the scathing look that Ollie gives her, being like, "That is not an okay like response to things." Yeah. She like tripped up. There was a lot of bombs in that area.
Yeah, there was. Mia has a lot to learn, and I think that this episode is really the best indicator of that we've gotten so far.
Because she does learn a lot.
Well, so. In the future, there's nobody else to really be like,
you shouldn't do that.
You have a lot to learn. She is the Green Arrow of the future, but now that she's in front of the actual Green Arrow, it's like, you have a lot to learn about being the Green Arrow. And by the time that Oliver dies, she's going to become the Green Arrow, and she's going to have her costume, and it's going to be great.
She's going to have... I like Katie Cassidy's costume. I always forget about it until I see her, and I'm like, this is a really sweet costume.
It is, hands down, the best costume in the entire Arrowverse.
Oh, I think so.
It's
pretty sweet.
So good. And, like, actually, you know what? I'm going to put it at a tie with Supergirl's new costume. Because Supergirl's costume in season 5, where she got the pants, she doesn't have the skirt anymore.
Oh, right. I've seen it.
Also,
really
so
awesome.
Good.
Nice.
But yeah, Laurel's new Black Canary is just such a great costume.
How come Renee gets to keep wearing his costume? Because he wears that shirt all the time, and nobody else is actually like in costume. Anyways, so they're all.
What do you mean? Oliver's still suited up.
Is he? Oh, okay.
Mia doesn't have one yet.
I guess.
Connor doesn't have one yet. See, yeah, he's still suited up.
Okay, fine.
And Diggle, everybody is suited up except for Mia and Connor.
Okay.
You're like, why is he the only one?
Well, I guess because Renee's just looks like a t-shirt, right? So, like, I always forget that it's like a costume because it's just sort of like an outfit.
But also, Diggle's is just a leather jacket with a helmet. That's his costume.
That's fair. Oh, anyways.
This is the reveal.
I'm sad that we don't get very many Renee featured episodes like since like a couple seasons ago, but he's great, and we haven't really had a featured episode for Renee in a while.
No, because he was such an important part of the future storyline last season. I feel like he got kind of short shrifted in the present storyline.
Maybe, right? Yeah, that's probably what happened. Yeah, because
like
they need him. Like,
his focus was on him in the future, and even still, he wasn't really there that much. He was just sort of. A bunch
there,
of storylines revolved
yeah,
around
yeah,
him.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but it didn't really necessarily like lead to like great acting moments or stuff
this
like
is
that,
such a good
cool.
scene between the two of them.
Between Diggle and Renee. Yeah, it's colored to me by the over emotion of it.
It's the thing for me is that this isn't neither one of them is thinking right now. They're both just reacting to what they've learned.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which
This is cool, this explanation that Connor has. You totally believe it. Like, you sort of assumed that this is what happened, but
He mentioned it a little bit last season, but yeah, this is definitely a more of the...
Because it's the thing, though, that wouldn't have been Diggle's fault.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing is that, like, it's something that is plausible because it's like, how can somebody like Diggle raise somebody that turns out to be JJ? And you go, well, it's actually not on Diggle, it's on JJ, because in that he wouldn't have ever been getting less love, he just would have assumed that he had less love or something like that, right? Where it's like...
The key and the thing that Diggle, that nobody picks up on, is that Lila is gone.
Right. Oh.
Which we've got hints of this season because she's Harbinger.
And we sort of know that, yeah, but...
So when you put two and two together, you go, like, Diggle had to do it by himself.
Mm. Oliver's gone. Because Connor doesn't know Lila. Hey, doesn't something happen where Diggle mentions Lila and Connor, like, has real no, like...
Diggle is gone, right?
Yeah.
Lila is gone. Oliver is gone. Felicity is not part of...
His life. Like, So he just raises...
And everything else happens with the city, and everybody kind of goes their separate ways in that future, right? So, yeah, so Diggle is on his own to raise these two boys, and it's not his fault.
Yeah.
Like, he does the best that he can, and he maybe overcompensates with Connor a little bit.
Yeah.
But
Anyways, yeah. I don't know. And it could be a thing, too, where Lila, like, it might, could JJ would remind him of Lila. And if that goes south or that went bad, that there would be maybe some stuff that he's projecting of, onto that,
yeah,
right?
A where bit it's of like, animosity.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I like that there's like layers to this episode. We haven't been able to talk about the layers of Arrow in a while.
Certainly not yet this season.
Yeah.
Even though, like, this season's been okay. It hasn't been bad. But, but this is definitely... This episode is a good example of Arrow at its peak.
Yeah.
At its height.
Yeah. That's good. I do like that she is constantly... Mia constantly has cuts on her face. I just do like that it's not going away. That it's just, like, a thing.
So, we're running into a problem with the actress that plays Zoe in the past.
In that she's growing up very fast.
She is... Yeah, like, clearly since last season, since the last time that we saw her, she has grown, like, 6 inches and is now a young adult. She is no longer a little kid. And it's interesting because it's like, well, she doesn't really look that much like future Zoe. But that's because now, like maturity-wise, like, they're a lot closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second she showed up, I was like, whoa. She grew up, like, overnight, but it's because we haven't seen her in probably, like, almost a year.
Yeah, that's fair.
In real time.
Because she wasn't really, we didn't really see her that often, so. Yeah.
Mia's getting ready to go solo. like, all of her, like, what are you doing? Where are you? And this is such classic Oliver of, like, what are you doing? I'm going to go inspect the bomb site. It's like, that's, like, a few seasons ago.
Exactly, like, what Ollie would do.
When the Outsiders were just becoming part of Team Arrow.
Right.
And it was like, he would just go off half-cocked by himself. And they were like, what? Why shouldn't... I thought we're a team. And it's like, we're a team when I say that we're a team. Otherwise, I'm on my own. And then he'd go off by himself. And that's kind of what she's doing.
It is, but I will say that she very often... off the top where he's like, don't go anywhere by yourself. She's like, fine, I'll take Laurel.
Yeah.
And he's still kind of like, no, don't go.
And I also like that Laurel gets this opportunity to both, like she really gets to put the screws to Oliver on this because she's going to swoop in here.
Yeah.
I like that in the background, she's watching them. Because she's going to, here she comes.
Yeah.
She's shifting and she's going to move over.
I do love this Nissa Al Ghul train me. I really wanted them to fight. It would have been great.
I like that Laurel gets to come over here and go, and she's going like, I'll go with her, which is like, now you can't say no, Oliver. And it's like, I'm doing you a favor because I'm gonna back her up, but at the same time, you don't want this to happen at all. And I'm probably the last person you want to trust your daughter with, but that's what's happening because I'm the only person that she's going to take.
Yeah.
Right. So, I love that dynamic. And then the conversation that Mia and Laurel end up having is also great, where she's like, I don't like your father, but you do need to respect that he knows what he's doing.
That's great.
He's a jerk, but he's also like, he's also the Green Arrow.
So, and
you have to, you can't. I get away from that fact. fast forwarding here. We didn't mention earlier that the Deathstroke is not JJ. It's,
oh yeah.
It's Slade's other son.
We're back in. Slade's other son? So not the one that we've already seen?
Yeah, not the
Oh.
We've seen this
the Suicide
son.
Squad one.
Yeah.
Is this the Suicide Squad one or
no,
not the Suicide Squad one?
This is a different one. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Seen this son in the future last year. Or did
what?
We see him or did we just mention him?
Maybe they just mentioned him because I don't think we saw him.
I don't remember if we saw him or not, but yeah, I think we did see him because there was the thing of like JJ, he's training JJ.
Oh.
But we never saw JJ last season.
Really?
We only feel like we did because he was talked about so much.
Oh, and then we saw him so much this season.
Yeah.
Right. And they went and they sort of were going to go see JJ and then they didn't actually see JJ. I think that's what it is where we like almost saw JJ. But.
Yeah.
Anyways, what's going on with this algorithm or whatever they're trying to find? What is that?
William is having a hard time with 21st century technology because yes, he's a genius, but he's a genius by 2040 standards.
Yeah.
So he's like, this old stuff, it's a little bit weird.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
It totally makes sense because, like, you get a kid that is growing up today.
You put him on one of those.
That's like a yeah. GN. Be like, figure out how to work this punch card computer from 1970. And they'd be like, you put the cards in the, what? How does a computer run off of cards with holes in them? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
There are probably a lot of people listening to the podcast right now that are very confused at what I'm saying. But the original Bat computer ran off of punch cards.
Really? The original Bat computer?
Okay. The 1966 Batman series, Batman would put punch cards into the Bat computer. And then the Bat computer would tell him where the Joker's going to be next.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
Technology. Ada Lovelace, first person to ever computer program by just making a bunch of punch cards.
Heads up, everybody. If you are having an issue, talk to one of the Black Canaries because they will...
solve your issue.
They're going to correct these obnoxious baby men and put them back on the right path. Because here's Dinah saying to Diggle, like, knock it off.
She just talked to Renee and Diggle, actually, in this episode.
Yeah. Because she just finished talking to Renee. Saying to Renee, like, Diggle's your friend. Don't be a dummy. If you want to protect Zoe, then fix it now.
Yeah.
And then coming back and saying to Diggle, Diggle, Renee's your friend. Don't be a dummy. If you want to fix it now.
Yeah.
And then Laurel is here to talk some sense into Mia. Man, she is so season one Oliver, and it's just hilarious.
Well, that's great, though. I mean, at least they're going with a trope. They understand what the show is. Maybe that's why we like it, because season one Oliver was fun. Like, I do like season one.
It's just, this episode is just the perfect mix of everything, right? We've got... the better Laurel. We've got 2040 Team Arrow with OG Team Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that's missing in this episode is Felicity. And this is one of the only times I think you'll ever hear me say this. It's like, I really did notice
her absence.
Yeah. Curtis tries to make up for it, but you know. It's not quite there. And William as well. Like, I think he's also meant to be sort of the proxy.
Channeling Felicity.
That character. But obviously, Emily Bett-Rickards had a very specific energy that she brought to the show. And when that character was really good, that energy was awesome. Yeah. And that's where that balance was of, like, you had the brooding, dramatic, angsty action with Oliver. You had the heart. And sort of soulful wisdom with Diggle. And then you had the comedy element with Felicity.
Yeah,
and that's what made the original Team Arrow so perfect, right?
Yeah. And this is like, Felicity's in this episode because she's talked about in Mia. Yeah. And it makes sense that she's still off raising Mia and there's stuff that's happening. Have we talked about the fact that it was revealed that she's coming back?
No, we didn't. She's going to be in the last episode.
So that's... And same with Paul Blackthorne, right?
Yep.
So I'm very excited for those two pieces of information to see people that are coming back. I do think that it's going to be a good end ride. Like, these episodes have been...
Like, I think that a lot of what we were doing before this episode was building up to this episode to get this season on track.
Yeah.
And this is a classic season of Arrow. It's just condensed. It's been condensed. It was condensed into three episodes.
But we've talked about this before, that this show, the thing that it suffered from was having to fill 22 episodes of content.
100%.
And that we always thought that it would do really well with a 10-episode order.
Yeah.
So maybe this is us just getting, after 8 years, finally getting what we wanted.
For,
which is awesome.
Yeah, just being vindicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's like the regular... methodology for a season of Arrow is that the first quarter of the season is
three episodes,
is the status quo is completely different, and like something has changed irrevocably, and so all of the episodes are going to be really weird until you hit that like sixth or seventh episode of the season where all of a sudden it's like no, everybody's back together, it's all it's the team, and now we're just going to fight bad guys. And the twist this season is like, we did the Earth 2 blah blah blah, all that stuff, and now we're to this point where it's like, Well, now everybody's just together. But the everybody includes everybody from the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is good. Anyways, this is another heart-to-heart for Ollie and William. There's a lot of, like, acting in this episode. Sort of heart-to-hearts with everybody. It is just, like, pure character stuff. There's no real villain that anybody has to interact with for any sustained period of time.
There is no...
Like, it's just so great.
There is a plot with the bombs and whatever, but it's incidental. It doesn't really matter. This episode is just about putting these characters together and seeing what the dynamics are and resolving some issues from past seasons with all of these characters. And it's so good. It's done so well.
Yeah. I do like that little nod that Curtis had, like the Mirakuru is out and bomb threats are in or something like that. So it's good.
Well, we've been talking about it. A lot of this season has been like a greatest hits. Yeah. And this is season two condensed.
Right. Yeah, into an episode. Into an episode, yeah.
So, yeah.
But with no Mirakuru. Wait, was Mirakuru episode season two?
That was season two.
It was, yeah. Because Deathstroke and Mirakuru is what I always like associate with them. John, we're good. Yay.
Everything's fine.
Because Renee is a grown-up.
Yeah.
And look at, like, Dinah being like, yes, that's good. You guys be okay.
Dinah nodding to herself and going like, I did that.
Yes. Good job, Dinah.
These boys are going to take credit for figuring it out on their own, but I know the truth. I solved that problem.
Yep.
But that's the key. That's the key. If we can just have Green Arrow and the Canaries, then they can actually save Star City.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to get.
Is it going to be in Star City? Because that'd be cool. It would be really awesome if it was in the same city.
Fun. It's going to be the same show.
Okay, good.
Such a genius pilot. Like, it's not a pilot.
It's just continuing.
It's a repilot. They're just rebooting the show.
Yeah.
Because they'll use the same sets.
Oh, yeah.
They'll use the same crew.
They can
it's all going to be
same
exactly
budget.
The same.
Yeah. That's good. Excellent.
Yeah. It's just the next season of Arrow.
Nice. Very exciting. Yeah. That's good. I think we're... Okay, well, we're back now. And in this, I'm pretty sure it's this hallway that I like the... Where are they now? They're underground? They said they had to go underground to find the bombs?
They have to go... They split up into three teams, I think.
Right. Because they all have to do different things. The Shawshank what? Is there no movies in the future? I do kind of like the little bit of banter.
Yeah.
There's not a lot, but it's useful. Like, the future humor is fun.
Laurel's got the mask on and everything now.
It's a good...
And
yeah.
It's
really
so
sweet.
Good.
Right?
So good.
Right? This is part of it. Cause I'm like, where is all his guys? And that's sort of what they say too. They're like, where is all his people? Right. He's just like standing there making home videos.
I love how Oliver goes, you should get behind me. And then that's where the bad guys come from.
Yeah.
Cause Ollie's like, I'm going to protect you. And then she's the one who takes out both of them.
Because she's awesome.
Take that, misogyny and the patriarchy. Literally a patriarchy. Literally the...
Yeah.
Patriarch.
Yeah. This is like...
I expected
detective.
This guy to have a bomb inside him.
Yeah.
But it was a little
but
bit different.
But it's like, no, it's a Deathstroke guy. But it's... Yeah. I don't know. It's... I do like that like Dinah just happens to be watching random people that are put in the... Like...
I like that she managed to see him. But also, here's the question.
Was he holding that
you
mask?
You guys didn't do a
very thorough, like...
Like a, yeah, a
check.
Search.
Yeah.
Because he managed to sneak in a bomb, C4, as
and
well as that
mask.
Yep. It's like, come on, guys. Get it together.
Right, they don't
You're
have
specifically
guns
looking for Deathstroke bombing things, and you just brought a guy in with a bomb and a Deathstroke mask.
But he was only destined for the drunk tank, so therefore, they didn't consider it. Being a
SCPD's gotta get
you know what I was literally thinking before I got into this episode. I was like, I think I liked how they treated the transitions because they weren't so obvious in this episode, and it's because there were no transitions in this episode. Where I was like, I remembered the absence of noticing transitions because they just did this is a shot where her hair goes back, and then it's like this like fast shot where they like go to the end where it like explodes. I just think it's like really cool and just
but
interesting.
But then they break the axis
there. Yes, I know. I noticed that.
They break the axis only to spin back around. And then,
well, they do it a couple times, though. And then they break the axis again. It's a weird sequence. Like, it's just, like, the whole sequence together is just done differently. And I just...
You should only break the axis if there's a reason to break the axis. And that is something that I will always stand by.
Huh. Yeah.
It's disorienting. So if you're going to do it because you want to disorient the viewer, right? Yeah, your audience. But I don't really feel like we needed to be disoriented in that fight. But
well, it was supposed to be a bit disorienting because the thing exploded, like, at you. But yes, it was weird. Anyways, Connor saved the day with the bomb not actually going off. So
I love when he's like, it's a blah, 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 and Diggle is like, where'd you learn that? And he turns and he looks at him and he goes, from you.
Yeah, right?
And then he disarms the bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, these guys are the better versions of
their
present-day counterparts.
Yeah, yeah.
Mia just has to learn to work as a team member, and then she'll be the better Green Arrow.
Yes. But, I mean, one would argue that is part of her traits.
Team-ups in the future are going to be Mia and everybody. Like,
oh,
I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Fast forwarding again.
It's going to be a good series. Look, this episode's almost done, and I feel like we just got into it. I love podcasting about this show when it's good, you guys.
Yeah.
We're back. This is why we podcast.
It's so much fun when it's so much fun.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
Because it's super late. It's almost 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
We're going to finish this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually when we're podcasting this late, I'm like, oh my God, there's still half of this left.
Yeah.
But no, not tonight.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Yeah. The best thing about this episode is that the end of it left me going like, I can't wait for more. Do you notice so Mia... When they turn, Mia's got her arms behind her back, her hands behind her back,
like
Oliver always does. And Oliver turns and goes to do it, and like kind of glances back,
and
he doesn't, and he puts his hands in front of him and kind of rings his hands.
No, I didn't see that. Oh, that's awesome.
Because he totally sees himself. Mirror?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Look at the subtleties in that, right? Like
such good performance. It's so good.
He does do a really good job in this episode in a way that, again, when he gets to like shine as a character, like when it's like the story is about character rather than just action, it's really cool. So
Stephen Amell is a very good actor that doesn't always get the opportunity to show how good of an actor he is. And I think like for me, the biggest part of that is that when he is asked to play Oliver in a one-dimensional, broody, Bruce Wayne, Batman trope.
Yeah.
He's not very good. He's very flat and very static. When he's allowed, and because William and Mia are here and it's his kids, and he's allowed to tap in to a little bit more of what Stephen Amell is actually like, and he can be a little bit more naturalistic, then his performance elevates on all levels.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that is super consistent about his performance. He's great in this episode because he gets to do all of it. You know what? Laurel's costume from certain angles looks like one of like the X-Men costumes from the 2000 X-Men movie.
Yep. Very much
just so. Just a little bit like Wolverine, but that's okay. I'm going to allow it. It's a much better version of that, but man, I just like, I love the color and the yellow.
It's good. She's pretty cool.
And the hair and just everything about her is so great. It wouldn't be a great episode of Arrow without standing in front of some tombstones. But it's in the day.
I mean, yeah, at least they get to be in the daylight. And it is just those two tombstones, because why would you bury people in a graveyard when you could just bury them in your backyard? I never really understood that. They're just buried in the, like...
This is a common thing for rich people, is that you have...
your own plot.
If you have an estate, then you have room on your property.
That's fair. I mean, it's kind of depressing.
It is very unclear, even until this point. Oliver still owns that land.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I was like, he still owns a
mansion.
Being like, does he though, or did he lose all his money?
No, he does.
But we haven't actually been back.
He lost the company, but he still
has his house.
He's still rich. We had that. There was a moment a couple seasons ago where somebody was like, I thought you lost your company. And he's like, yeah, but I'm still rich. Still Oliver Queen. Just doesn't have a company
Which anymore. I do like that.
He still has like investments and like a diversified portfolio.
Model. I like when they use the SkyTrains to their advantage.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it a lot in this episode. Or that they like teach, like there was an episode, there was the conversation between Connor and his dad. And the SkyTrain came past, and you could watch him wait for it
which
to pass.
Which is about 20, close. 30 feet away close. From where they're filming this right now.
I mean,
now.
Yes, they were all in the it's same area the same, for all this
It's
stuff.
All that same stretch. It's two buildings on either side of the SkyTrain.
This is cool, like the sequence of them all like working with the people that they're.
Well, this is it, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they're gonna make they're gonna make the future better, starting now.
Yeah, that's fair. With all that's the great. People that this is cute. The Laurel and Dinah like dinner thing with the big belly burger like bag. I was literally thinking about like just those props just living in a place and them just it's just cute that they're all like, yay team. I don't know. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and it's all with Renee's. Monologue here with his speech.
Let's make the future now.
And then we end with one of Oliver's specialties. These are what this is like his grilled cheese or whatever, right? That like he makes the best grilled cheese.
It looks like waffles.
It's but they're grilled cheese, but the secret is waffles? That he makes them with waffles.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, good. Oh,
it's guess. A thing from I think from last season or the season before.
This is great. You want the long version or the short version? And then he goes to start talking in the long version, and Ollie's like, no, like it's so good. I do like that dynamic. They could just slip right back into. So it's super illegal. I like that.
It requires plutonium.
A military grade guy with Russia. Yay.
And Oliver's not psyched. I like how much the audience is like, yeah, we're going to Russia. Classic Arrow.
Yeah.
But when they show Oliver's reaction, he's like, ugh. Really? I just got back from Hong Kong. And then unfortunately, as much as everything else is a happy ending in this episode, here comes that Marnovu to be a real bummer. The monitor, more like the buzzkill turd. I don't know.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, got him.
It's
take
burn.
Take that, Marnovu.
Yes.
She
must betray Oliver Queen. I'll believe it when I see it. Is this the season 4 Arrow? Are they doing the arrows?
Maybe, possibly.
I feel like I definitely remember that arrow.
Yeah.
So. I haven't seen.
I think it is the season 4 because that's the one when he is officially like, the Green Arrow.
Right, because it's like the most like generically Green Arrow.
So next week we're gonna go to Russia and.
But doesn't
fight a
seem
bunch
like Anatoly's there, and that makes me sad. It definitely would have been a thing where they probably tried to get Anatoly, and maybe they couldn't. But I want him to be in it. I hope he is. I don't know.
Maybe they're just saving him,
Maybe they just go to Russia because. That's where they're going next.
Because the story dictates it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Cool. Well.
Let's end on a high note. I think we've talked to a good place with Arrow. Enjoy this short and sweet and positive episode of Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. Yeah. Welcome to season 8. Excited?
I think the most important takeaway from this episode is to remember... It's not us. It's definitely the show. Because Thunderquack is always fun.
Yeah, we always like doing
because we just
that,
talk
yeah.
about whatever we want. It's generally fun stuff or things that we're interested in. But Arrow can sometimes, Quiver can be a bit of a slog because sometimes the episodes aren't great.
And those are the ones where we don't actually talk about Arrow.
Yeah.
But I will say, we were pretty consistent today.
We were focused.
So let's not ruin it by deviating.
This is true. Cool. Thanks for listening. I messed it up on Rebel Cells this week as well. If you want to stay up to date with all the latest Arrow news, you can do that by heading to quiverpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast and on Twitter and Instagram at quiverpodcast.
You can also follow us individually at Akonkin, AKONKIN. That's on Twitter, and you can add an 86 to that for Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And you guys know we're a part of the DC TV Podcast Network. Head to dctvpodcast.com to check out all the other great podcasts in that network. And we're also a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. So go to thunderquack.com to check out more great podcasts. A new one starting up next week. So we've got next week off for
Quiver. Right, because there's no Arrow next week.
But don't worry, because we'll have the first episode of Faster, More Intense, which is our new Star Wars podcast. And that one will be for the first episode of The Mandalorian. So expect that on either like the 13th or the 14th. If I can get motivated and like Matt and I record on the Wednesday and then I can like edit it that night.
Nice.
Then
it could come out real soon.
Yeah.
But you have to have Disney Plus. You gotta watch on.
Yeah, well, come on. Mandalorian. Everybody's gonna have Disney Plus. Disney's gonna make a whole lot of money. If you've got money, I would say buy Disney stock today, and next week it'll get a nice big bump. Awesome. Well, what else do I say? If you want to support us, you can do that in two ways. First, by going to store.thunderquack.com.
I'm sorry I shared none of these responsibilities by taking any of this from you.
If you did any of this, I would just get frustrated because you would do not it wrong. Do it right.
Yeah. It's true.
Pick up some merch, shirts, scarves, blankets for your bed, stuff, all sorts of things.
Staring.
I actually haven't gone into the Redbubble, into the admin side of it in a long time to see if there's new. Because they're constantly
sometimes
adding
you can add different things, yeah.
New types of things. So yeah. I should go in and update stuff.
In time for the holidays.
Yep. The other way to support us is by going to patreon.com/thunderquack and kicking in with your monthly pledge of support over there and getting exclusives like early access to the Thunderquack podcast and access to the Facebook group, the Patreon Facebook group.
Which is super fun.
Yeah. We had a great conversation today about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, and yeah,
the fact
yeah.
that... unfortunately for you guys in America, you only get two peanut butter cups in your Reese's. And up here
really
we get
sad.
Three.
Yeah.
In a standard.
But
way.
Also, like, why did they make that difference in candy? Like, what is it? Isn't it just easier to manufacture it all with three? Like,
well,
I don't know.
Because they're made in different factories.
Oh, I guess so.
They're made in completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't we talk, like, last week that Coffee Crisp isn't a thing down there?
What?
Yeah.
Did we? I didn't know Coffee Crisp.
I don't know.
Wasn't
I talked to
thing.
Somebody about
there's,
it.
There's definitely actually a lot of candies that don't exist in the same places. It could just be something to do with like how
Smarties,
it's made. Yeah.
Smarties to Americans are
those
rockets.
Stupid rockets. They're so gross.
Yeah.
Smarties, the Canadian Smarties, are so good.
Well, hold on. You like rockets, though.
No, not really. Ugh, they're all
you're,
right.
You're a bad
they taste
person.
Like chalk.
Friendship over.
Okay. I'm okay with that. We're going to lose a friendship over rockets.
Rockets are so good. Rockets are one of my favorite. Rockets, I attribute a lot of my tooth decay to rockets because if you put a bag of them in front of me, I will just eat them until I'm sick.
Oh, man. No,
yeah,
I can't do it.
They're so good.
They're too, like, yeah, just chalky.
The chalky?
For me.
That's the part of it that I
oh,
love.
Oh, man. I mean,
when
I will
you get
eat
ones,
a package of
if
rockets.
You get, if you get a package of rockets and they are like. They're already starting to kind of break down, and you put them in your mouth, and they basically just turn to powder when you bite into them. Oh, so good.
Oh,
so
man.
Good. Other
upsetting.
People out there know what I'm talking about.
Upsetting.
But up here, Smarties are chocolate. They're basically the better version of M&M's.
So the rockets you're talking about, that's what Americans refer to as Smarties?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'd be curious to see what people's opinions about. But, like, how do you not have Smarties, though? They are superior M&Ms, is just all I have to say.
Oh, they're way better
like,
M&Ms.
So
first
much
of all,
better.
They're bigger than an M&M, and then the chocolate is
it's just,
better.
Like, better. It's and, just, like, it's just candy go to chocolate, but, like, awesome. Anyways, we don't. It doesn't have a cool spokesperson like a talking peanut, but that's okay.
And these are the kinds of conversations that you get by being part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network.
Yeah.
It's good. Over on patreon.com/thunderquack. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. I have no idea what next week's episode is.
Well, you can look for it. So it's not next week. It's the week after that. And I apologize.
Weeks, yeah.
I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be down in LA. If anybody's going to CTN, it's an animation expo in LA. I'm very excited to see you.
It's
uh-oh.
A word that I'm going to have a hard time saying.
Oh, no. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, you can do it.
I don't know. Well,
no, because then
I
have to say the other
oh,
thing.
Yeah, you do. No,
and
you can't
weird.
Do it.
I
that would be super weird.
Curtis will be on the episode, on the next episode, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you, Curtis. You're the best.
Even though he is not caught up on Arrow, so it'll be a very interesting conversation.
That'll be okay.
Yeah, so we'll be back in a couple of weeks for the episode Prognost. Prognost? You can look it up. It's the thing that they say before they drink the drink.
Right, yeah. Stay sharp, Arrowheads.